This is a story that I've told at Christmas many times. It is a story about a little boy named Michael, the grandmother, and the house of the grandmother. Now, Michael loved the house. He loved the way that the house smelled. He loved its peculiar light and shadows. And he loved all the things in the house, things never seen any place else. Michael especially loved the things from the old country, things which the grandmother and her parents had brought with them. They brought them when the grandmother was a little girl. Every one of the things in the house had a story. This old steamer chest, that group of photos, this Bible, which had been in the family for generations. Michael loved the house, but he loved the grandmother even more. Michael would climb into the throne, which was the grandmother's lap. She would enwrap him and transfix him. She would show him all the things in the house, and she would tell him the stories that went with them. The time spent in her lap was timeless for him. The thing that he loved most of all in the house was a glass dove. A crystal dove, smooth and cool to the touch. The dove usually rested on the mantle, but Michael could hold it when he was in the grandmother's lap, but only then. The feel of the smooth crystal in his hand would calm him, strangely calm him. And the grandmother would tell its story again and again, although Michael knew it by heart. He didn't care. How her parents had received it as a wedding gift, how it was nearly lost on the ship across the ocean from the old country. How it reminded the grandmother of her mother's and her father's love for one another and for her. What is better than a story of adventure and love when you already know that story by heart? Then one day, Michael was alone in the room with the mantle and the chair, the place where the grandmother sat. And he looked around and saw the crystal dove. He remembered how he liked to hold it, how the cool surface would calm him. And he stretched himself to become as tall as he could be. And he tried to pull the glass dove down to himself. But he could not quite grasp it. And the next thing that he knew was the dove falling onto the stone hearth beneath, with a noise that soon enough filled the whole house. Michael stood horrified, looking at the pieces when suddenly the grandmother came into the room and scooped him up. Michael feared what was next. The grandmother carried Michael to the chair and wrapped him on the throne of her lap. She held him for what seemed like ages, just held him while he wept. I have never figured out a moral for this story, what with its abrupt ending like that. And I know it's not the sort of story where everyone automatically and naturally lives happily ever after. And life mostly is not like that. The grandmother was sad to lose something that she treasured, and Michael was crushed and ashamed. There are still some insights. Things get broken. They do. And sometimes we look around and all that we can see are the shards. That's one insight. Things break in life. We know that. We may be under the burden of that reality here in this place tonight. Another insight is that stories matter, and that they put in front of us the raw materials for making sense out of what is otherwise senseless, and for knowing who we are, for goodness sake. The grandmother's stories mattered for Michael. My late aunt, Ethel, loved to tell me the story, and I heard it many times, the story of how her family, my grandparents and their children, left their home in West Texas in 1919. That was the year of the influenza. And the flu was blazing like wildfire through the little community where they lived, and they were scared. They moved someplace else in the hope that they could escape this ravage. And so they moved to this exotic place called East Texas. Aunt Ethel remembered how during the move east, the mules pulling the wagon balked at the bridge over the Trinity River. Creaky old thing that no mule was going to trust. And she remembered being afraid when that happened. And she remembered the relief that she felt when finally the wagon got to the other side. The family made it to East Texas, and they settled for a time in Kaufman County, south and east of Dallas. They did not get the flu. My mother was born 100 years ago during that sojourn. The next year, the family returned home. Stories matter. They tell us things about our own legacies that we need to know. They help us find meaning, make sense out of our own lives. And I will tell you that laps matter. A lap to crawl into. And sometimes a lap is the only thing that matters. The touch of flesh on flesh, even without words, can heal a sin-sick soul or heal any soul. Broken things may not get put back together. Shards all around. There is not enough super glue in the whole world to put back together a crystal dove after it has hit the stone floor. Even so, having a place of nurture and care to crawl into, the throne of wisdom that can be in a grandmother's lap, things like that matter. Brokenness and stories and laps. It is not as if you have never heard the story about the virgin and the baby, the shepherds and the angels before. You know this one. You know how it goes. But hearing the story again does something for us. And it comes from what is so familiar. We keep coming back. I keep coming back year after year to hear this story told again and to bask in its reality and to sing about it. This is not new. Oh, and the flesh. The flesh and blood of Jesus, the Word of God, who is none other than God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Became this stuff in all its frailties and all its glories. The flesh can never be foreign to us Christians. Can never be. The 8th century theologian John of Damascus wrote that God has taken comfort in becoming the flesh of Jesus and had dreamt of doing such a thing from before time and forever. That is how much human flesh is worth to God. The Eastern hymn for this holy feast of the incarnation of Jesus Christ goes like this. Today the Virgin comes to the cave to give birth to the Word. Rejoice, O earth. Rejoice with the angels and the shepherds. Give glory to the child who is God before all ages. And the hymn ends appropriately with one word, Alleluia.